thought of holidaying in perfect isolation on a private island, swimming with manta rays or whale sharks, sipping sunset cocktails on a sandbar in the Maldives appeals, then this next story might be for you. Graham Kemlow speaks to Giles Selves, General Manager of Minor Hotel Groups and Antara Cluster in the Maldives, to find out what you get for your money and who's lining up to buy out the island when the international borders reopen later this year.
Giles, welcome to Travel Writers Radio.
Hi, Graham. Thanks for having me.
Now, where are you exactly? Which island are you on?
Right now, I'm actually on Anantara Veli, which is one of the four resorts that I run in the Maldives.
Do you travel between these? Is it a plane ride or is it a boat ride? Is it one big lagoon you're all in?
So three of the resorts are on one lagoon that you can travel to by boat, which is Anantara Digu, Anantara Veli, where I am right now, and Naladu Private Island. And then Anantara Kihava is separate and is a 30-minute plane ride north of Male. Where I am right now is about a 30-minute boat ride south of Male.
Okay. So I responded to a media release from your PR team about the fact that there were private islands available, and that always appeals. Whether it appeals to the pocket is another issue, of course. But obviously your group, the Minor Hotels Group, has got access to a number of these different islands, and I said to them, well, let me talk to someone who's on one, who understands what the local geography is and the sorts of people, the sorts of clientele that come and how long they stay. So just give us a quick rundown on what is – obviously there's a certain appeal about an island, especially if it's a buyout situation and it's just you and your team or your family or Johnny Depp and his dog. What do you sell there, basically?
Well, I think right now, you know, the demand that we're seeing for buyouts or private requests has actually grown significantly because of the COVID pandemic. So if we look at demand right now, we're seeing a number of families predominantly asking for buyouts for up to 30, 40 people, which is obviously a pretty big extended family.
Sure.
For anything from three or four nights up to one inquiry we had recently was for 45 days.
Wow.
And we're able to tailor make the inquiry for that person's specific needs on any four of the islands. In terms of right now, the islands that are proving most popular are Naladu Private Island, because it has 20 private villas, so is the smallest of the four resorts that I look after, which allows for perfect use for a smaller, medium-sized family. And if I look at Anantara Kihava, which is the resort north of Male, we've had a number of inquiries there from individuals who were looking to take a four-bedroom residence, but because of the environment that we're in right now and the numbers that we were looking at, they were happy to privatize the island just for a four-bedroom residence.
Wow.
So that's obviously right. That's obviously right at the very, very peak of the market, and, you know, arrival by private jet and those types of things.
Yeah.
And then we see a number of inquiries coming up that are looking further to next year. We've had an inquiry for a wedding buyout for Anantara Digu, which is 110 villas. So again, that's a very different dynamic, but people are looking into the future and saying, you know, what are the opportunities for me to privatize something so that I can maximize the value and the opportunity that I have, but also make sure that in some ways we're isolating ourselves from other people around us.
Mm. You don't talk about the clients you get across there, but can you give me a sense of where people are inquiring from? Are they looking to escape the COVID situation, or how do you see it? I think you said you're in lockdown, but where are they coming from that they're inquiring of the Maldives?
Right now, we're waiting for the government to provide us with the final guidelines for opening the country back up for tourism. Our anticipation is that certainly at some point in July, and if not latest by the 1st of August, the borders will be fully reopened and tourism will restart.
Right.
So that's the first positive that we're starting to see. And cases in the Maldives for COVID have been very few when compared to an awful lot of other destinations. And the active cases are being very well managed by the government. So the outlook looks very, very positive. In terms of countries where we're seeing the most demand for buyouts, the Middle East Russia and India are the three destinations that are giving us the most inquiries right now.
Okay, well, India is obviously relatively close to you, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, parts of India are only an hour's flight away. Mumbai is 2.5 hours, but we get an awful lot of inquiries from the Middle East, particularly Saudi, and then obviously Russia. Russia is a massive market for the Maldives, particularly in the very, very high-end resorts. And we're getting a number of inquiries for people with private jets that are wanting to come down and escape what's happening in Russia right now.
Okay. Do you have to then implement COVID precautions on arrival or prior to takeoff? Or how do you manage what might turn up on your island?
So right now, the government are just finalizing the entry requirements into the country. And once we get those, we'll obviously be able to adapt our requirements accordingly. We are looking at a number of different options in terms of what we do from a social distancing perspective, what we do from a hygiene and cleanliness perspective. We'll be using static sprayers. We'll be doing much more regular deep cleaning of all of our areas. We'll be doing providing social distancing in our restaurants, making sure that tables are 1.5 to 2 meters apart. We are also going to be launching an app when the resorts reopen so that all of the information that the guests need for their stay can be downloaded to their personal handheld device. That means that they can check in and check out and pay through their phone. Yeah. So limiting interaction on arrival and departure if that's what the guest wants. And also having all of our menus and pricing available in an app for people to be able to use on their phone so that if they want to contain themselves and be relatively isolating, then they're able to do that. But obviously, we're in the hospitality business, and so we need to be able to cater for the demands and needs of all of our guests across the broad spectrum. So everything from somebody who doesn't want to leave their villa with their private pool for the entirety of their stay to somebody who wants to be able to interact as much as they can and feel as normal as possible in the environment that we're in. And one of the great things about all of the resorts that we have is the vast majority of all of our spaces are outdoor and unair conditioned.
Okay.
So if you listen to some of the things that are being said about how the virus spreads, for us to have all of our facilities outdoor without air conditioning so that there's lots of natural airflow is actually a big positive right now. So when we take that and we add in social distancing by spacing out tables and such like in our restaurants, actually it becomes a very, very good environment for people to be able to behave as normally as possible because of the fact that we're removing so many of those risk factors.
Yeah, okay. If it was a big family group, though, would you still have to socially distance?
Well, we're waiting for the guidelines from the government.
Right.
Obviously, we'll comply with whatever the law and guidelines are that they put in. We will make sure that we are as accommodating as possible to all of our customers' needs and requirements. And depending on how guests traveled here, then obviously the requirement for social distancing may change. If you had a family hire a private plane and turn up with 30 or 40 people from one plane, then obviously the need to social distance wouldn't be the same as if people came in on multiple different flights.
Yeah, I understand. So people land at the airport and then you transfer with a boat transfer, is it?
Yes, but a boat or seaplane, we can do both options for our guests.
Okay. Now, the ticklish question is always going to be what sort of investment is required to take a buyout on a private island. Can you give us a sense of what it might cost?
Sure. Naladu Private Island starts at about $35,000 US a night for a minimum of a 3 or 4 night stay. Anantara Key Harbour is $100,000 US a night for a minimum of a 4 night stay. And that's on a bed and breakfast basis.
Right. So, but $100,000 on that island lets you fill all the available beds, does it?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Yeah.
So on a on that basis, then it looks a little more affordable, perhaps than if you were going to the 6-star somewhere in a major capital city.
Yeah,
once
absolutely.
You've got there,
I mean,
obviously.
If you look at, yeah, sure. I mean, if you look at Naladu, it's 20 villas, so it's somewhere between 40 and 50 people, depending on how many people end up coming, which when you look at $35,000 US a night, actually is very, very affordable compared to an awful lot of luxury hotels in other destinations.
Sure, that's interesting. You said bed and breakfast, but are there open bars and things, or do you pay for all other food and drink on consumption?
No, everything else would be charged on consumption, and that allows us to completely customize and tailor for the requirements of those guests.
Yeah.
And whether it be that you you want to do a barbecue on the beach, or you want to go out to a private sandbank, literally in the middle of nowhere, where all you can see is water, and do something set up on there for, and do cocktails at sunset on that sandbank, then that's an option, and we've priced it accordingly.
Right.
And then all of the other activities that we have, you know, whether it be whale shark snorkeling or manta ray snorkeling, those types of activities would all be priced in on top.
Okay. Well, it sounds like there's plenty that people could do there. Do you get many corporate incentive groups there, Giles?
Historically, in Anantara Digu, we've had a reasonable number of corporate incentives. We've probably had, you know, four or five a year, where they may not buy out the whole of the island, but they would certainly take 75-80% plus of the island. And at that point, would also be happy to look at closing the island based on the requirements for the customer. I think the MICE market's something that obviously is a little bit up in the air right now in terms of how that's going to pan out in the future. But I still think that private islands are going to have a positive impact to pay in group business generally moving forward.
It would seem as though there's probably a bit of pent-up demand to reward those high achievers who normally go on these incentive programs run by probably major companies rather than small to medium. So you may well find when the barrier goes up, you've got a bit of a queue.
That's the hope, I think. The thing that we're looking forward to right now is getting a number of the commercial flights finalized, and getting the schedules for the rest of the year put in place. And once that happens, then I think we're going to be in a much better position to understand really what the opportunity is moving forward.
I think your Aussies are going to have to row from northwestern Australia to get there. I don't see our airports opening anytime soon.
Yeah, unfortunately, my understanding is that it's going to take a little bit of time for the Australian market to be able to travel outbound again. But I think to your point that you just made, that potentially has a positive impact for next year, particularly once we get into your winter next year. I mean, surfing in the Maldives is fantastic. And we have a surf school that we run here with Tropic Surf, who are based up on the Gold Coast. And so for the summer next year, if this year is in effect a write-off from an Australian outbound travel perspective, then we're very confident that next year will be very, very positive for outbound Australian travel to a market such as this.
Well, it all sounds tremendous, Giles. I'm not sure it's in my budget at the minute. I'll have to get a lot more government support than we're all getting right now. But, I mean, we appreciate whatever support the Australian government can give. But we've just got to get through this COVID situation in the meanwhile. Probably not the sort of question I want to end an interview on, but if someone was to get sick there, is the hospital facilities in the Maldives, are they Western standard, or what would you do?
There's a couple of private hospitals in Malé, one of which is less than 2 years old with a full set of international doctors. The quality of that hospital is comparable to a hospital that you would find in many cities around the world. So from that perspective, the hospital facilities are very good. And I think the government have done a very, very good job in managing COVID generally in terms of the way that they've approached the track and trace and the testing.
Good luck. I hope it's a bumper season for you.
Pleasure. Thanks very much for your time. Lovely to talk to you.
Graham Kemner there, dreaming of a tropical island getaway. But in reality, he was speaking with Giles Silves, who runs Naladu Private Island in the Maldives.
You're listening to The Travel Writers Show on JAIR 87.8 FM.